And what was important for Christianity before Constantine was not numbers, but on how Christians had come to define themselves, how they defined themselves through the persecutions and martyrdoms, how they had worked out their theology, how they had forged their institutions, the important role of bishops. And we'll talk about those last two in the next lecture. They were in position to explain to an emperor why he converted, why he should remain a Christian. And that is probably more important than converting 1,000 peasants in Gaul. Because once Constantine was emperor, he could legislate. He could empower bishops to be the leaders of local society. He and his advisors could commission the construction of massive churches, wonderful cathedral churches in the downtowns that could attract those audiences and crowds that you could never have had before. He could allow preaching to come out publicly. He could allow the Christianization of public ceremonies, not only imperial, but at the city level. And above all, he could give his prestige and power behind missionary work. And this would be missionary work not only in the empire, but outside the empire. And it's no accident that the Christian church begins to score some real successes among peoples outside the Roman world, particularly among some of the Germanic tribes. In the 340s and 350s, the East Germanic tribes, the Vandals, the Goths, these newcomers, who 100 years earlier had given the imperial government so much difficulty, embrace Christianity. They embrace what's called the Arian confession, the Arian heresy, or confession is probably a better word. And one of the reasons they do so is because this is the faith of the Roman emperor. And they fight for the Roman emperor as tribal mercenaries, federate soldiers. And if the Christian God is powerful and the Christian God supports the Roman emperor, that's good enough for me. And for these Germans, the conversion was probably that simple initially. But in time, that Arian faith of Christianity becomes very much their faith and their identity, and they don't give it up very readily. Another example of this would come from the memories of a man called Gregory Nazianzus the Elder. He's the father of some very important Christian thinkers later in the 4th century. And Gregory, we are told, remembers how in 325 AD, he was a man of the upper class, he saw the bishops going to the First Ecumenical Council at Nicaea, summoned by the Emperor Constantine. It was a miracle to him. Here these members of a despised faith were now being summoned by the emperor to determine what that faith was. 4 years later, he had converted, and he himself became a bishop, and his whole family went over to Christianity. That type of impact is difficult to overestimate. The power of the emperor, the power of the emperor behind the new faith. And the important point is that with Constantine, subsequent emperors were all Christian. Now, there's one exception here, and that is the Emperor Julian, declared emperor by the Western army in 360 AD. And Julian attempted to bring back the faith of the old gods. But Julian had been reared as a Christian. He was a nephew of the Emperor Constantine. He had gone back to paganism. And his idea of combating Christianity was, in effect, to out-Constantine Constantine, as one historian put it, to put his money and his power behind the ancient gods, to justify it according to the ancient philosophical systems of Plato. There's a whole philosophical system worked out to justify this, and to reorganize the cults around an emperor. In some ways, the comparison that is apt is this is a ruler who would like to have brought back the old gods, very much as the Hindu cults were reorganized to kick Buddhism out of India, or in effect to absorb Buddhism back into the Hindu faith. There probably was a good possibility that Julian could have done this. However, Julian only stayed on the throne for less than 3 years. And furthermore, he marched off to that war in Persia I talked about in the last lecture and was killed. Many took that as a sign of the power of the Christian God. It discredited the pagan position. And what is remarkable is after Julian, the pagans had been taught to be quiet. Pagans worshiped their gods in their traditional settings, and so long as they weren't bothered, they didn't really see a contest of religions. So that slowly, inexorably, over the 4th and 5th century, Christian emperors, bishops, and as we'll see in one of the upcoming lectures, the ascetics, the monks, steadily Christianized society so that by the 6th century AD, Christianity has definitely achieved a majority, and it is now in charge of the cultural and political life of the Roman world. And with that, let's stop and we'll look at the Christian message in the next lecture.